This is Pippa Hudson on Lunch.
So we all know when we go off to vote in municipal elections that we are choosing the people who will represent us as ward councillors, responsible for issues in our own neighbourhoods. Or at least I wish I could say we all knew that, because I suspect actually a lot of people don't really understand the role of the ward councillors, certainly don't even know who theirs might be, let alone how to hold them accountable for those responsibilities. So my interest was really piqued when I saw a flyer advertising a meeting for later this week at which this very issue is going to be discussed. It's being convened by the Development Action Group and the group Civic Action for Public Participation. And while the meeting on Wednesday is chiefly aimed at civic organizations, I thought we could delve into the issue for a broader audience today. And I'm delighted to have with us in studio the Development Action Group's Kirita Sal and Ryan Fester. Welcome to both of you and thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Before we start talking about the ward councillors, can you just tell us briefly a little bit about who DAG is?
The Development Action Group is a developmental non-governmental organization. It has been in existence for over 30 years. It works on issues related to housing, in particular affordable housing, access to land, and informal settlements. And our main focus or aim is to support communities and people working in areas and facilitate and give capacity building to empower and equip communities and individuals to be active participants in terms of accessing housing.
Okay, so you've touched on some huge issues there, big red flags, housing, access to land, services to informal settlements. A councillor in an area that is grappling with those issues must have quite a different role from a councillor who is working in a leafy suburban suburb where everybody has land and housing and decent services. Am I right in saying that?
I think in essence, councillors have very much the same roles and responsibilities. I think the difference is in terms of issues. The issues in a community where we are struggling with housing and informal settlements and all of that are obviously vastly different from the issues that a councillor in a more affluent area would struggle with. Mm. Generally, the most important function of any councillor in any area is to be the representative of the people within that ward and to represent the needs of that community. Also, the councillor has a very specific function and a very important function in terms of public participation, being that link between the council and the community and providing and creating opportunities in which the various issues that communities grapple with can be discussed.
The one criticism we often hear is that I never see my councillor. My councillor is always at council sitting in meetings and not here in the community. They must have to balance those two roles of the representational role requiring them to be at councillor, speaking up on behalf of the community. Mm. But at the same time, in order to be able to do that, they've got to be present in the community. Are councillors obliged to live in the wards they represent?
Not necessarily. They must live within the municipality. But not necessarily the ward specifically. But in response to what you've just mentioned, it is critical for a councillor to be able and to engage with the community. If councillors don't engage with the communities around the issues, they are not able to efficiently and effectively represent communities at the council meetings. So in that effect, the council meetings are not as effective as it could be if you have a councillor who is not very involved in the issues of the community, does not engage on a regular basis with the community, and is not aware of what the priority needs of that community ought to be.
It's got to be a tricky one from a political perspective, because they're elected by people from all kinds of different backgrounds with all kinds of different political allegiances, and the majority vote wins the seat. But that means that a councillor representing a ward which might be dominated by, say, the DA or the ANC, they might have been put there by supporters of their party, but they're still obliged to represent the full constituency. How big a difficulty is that for councillors to set aside political will and at one point be a representative of a party in the municipality, but also be representing constituents who don't necessarily support that party?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's where the major challenge lies with councillors. It's being able to thread that line and to do it so very well. Because you do have, on the one hand, the ambitions of councillors, if you will, and what they need to do in terms of what their responsibilities are in terms of towing the party line. Mm. And the challenge we often find is that that is what councillors tend to focus on. They tend to focus on towing the party line, on focusing on what the issues of the party is, as opposed to what the issues of the communities are. And it's difficult, as you say, in some respects, but more critically, most importantly, in terms of public participation and the ideals put in the local government legislation, in the Municipal Systems Act, all of the legislation that exists around public participation, the most important function of any municipal councillor is to put forward the position of the communities. So notwithstanding the challenges that exist in regards to towing the political party line and their responsibilities in that regard, their main function is to be that link between the community and the council, and that's where they, I think their priority needs to lie.
Okay, now I asked you to share your thoughts on your ward councillors. I'm going to ask Ryan and Karita to pop their headphones on so they can hear some of the voice notes that have already come through. And I'm happy to take some more of these, but let's start with the first two.
I know exactly who my ward councillor is. I don't feel like she does anything for our area, aside from make excuses as to why funds aren't available and where the funds are going to be made available. And it's very frustrating and incredibly bureaucratic. I also find it totally ludicrous that ward councillors have other professions and get paid a salary to run quite a large area, which they are actually not entirely competent to do. I'm not sure what the requirements are to be elected as a ward councillor, but I feel like the person that takes on the role, this should be their dedicated task. They shouldn't have a normal job on the side and then sort of ward councillor on the weekend, because nothing gets done. Nothing gets done. I'm infuriated by our ward councillor, and that's why I'm not going to tell you what area it is, but I feel like she only cares about the area that she lives in and not the other boroughs that she's responsible for. And amazing how much stuff is happening in her area and not in the outlying areas.
Papa, I'm from Paul. My name is Roy. And if there is a councillor in Paul, I have, in all the time I've lived there, never had any connection or speak. Never heard him or her speak.
Okay, so two frustrated voice notes. One positive one on the WhatsApp line from Sue saying, we have an amazing ward councillor who is engaging and responsive. I have her on WhatsApp. She replies almost immediately and gets things done. So kudos to Councillor Nikki Reader in Ward 107, says Sue. That first voice note, though, Karita, touched on some really important issues. Let's start with the issue of the requirement to be a councillor. Mm-hmm. Are there any legislated minimum requirements?
I think minimal that they live in the specific ward that they represent. But I mean, I think one of the biggest issues that your caller mentioned is the fact that councillors have other responsibilities also.
So this is not a full-time job.
Exactly. It's a part-time job. So obviously you expect a certain level of commitment from your councillor. And in some respects, as your first, as the WhatsApp message indicated, some councillors are very responsive to their communities, but others aren't. And it has a lot to do with the fact that this is a part-time job. They get paid, and that's something we need to consider also. A significant amount of money.
Paid very well.
And in some areas, we're not being very effective leaders. And those are some of the issues that we want to discuss at this ward councillor seminar. What are some of the obstacles? What are some of the challenges? And what are some of the strategies that we can develop to ensure that we have more accountability from councillors?
So can you give us an idea? Because as you said, they're earning a full-time salary. I mean, they're earning salary packages that are close to, I think, ½ a million rand a year in some cases for the highest paid councillors.
Yeah, for the metro.
That's pretty good for a part-time job, I have to say. It's pretty good for even a full-time job. So if you feel that your councillor is not living up to the role, not earning that salary, what one mechanism is to wait for the next local government election and vote for somebody else. But in the interim, what can you do?
Well, essentially, the IDP meetings or the ward council meetings, which the ward councillor is supposed to arrange, is supposed to be one of those areas where you can engage your ward councillor and sort of get from your councillor that level of accountability, question him or her, or ask questions around why certain things are not being done and when can we expect them to be done. But also there are other avenues, for instance, the municipal whip each municipality has a WIP, and you can approach the WIP around issues that you have with your ward councillor and how to deal with that. And there is legislation that exists around where you have issues with ward councillors who you think may be corrupt or who aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing, that you can utilize to sort of address that. But it's very challenging because, like I said, the civic public participation processes, by and large, is initiated by the councillor, which means the extent to which you're really able to hold the councillor to account becomes almost dependent on the councillor.
Yeah.
And within that meetings, it's especially difficult because those council meetings tend to be meetings where you have councillors putting forward very technocratic plans and budgets, and then you have people having to respond who aren't necessarily always as clued up on their technical language and the jargon and all of that. So it creates a very sort of difficult situation to really engage around what needs to be done, why it hasn't been done, and what we need to do to get it done.
And that is assuming that the meetings even happen.
Exactly.
Somebody's asking, are they obliged to advertise those meetings? For example, should they be taking out notifications in the local newspaper or buying an ad on Cape Talk to say there's a meeting happening?
Absolutely. Funds are made available for that. It is incumbent on your ward councillor to do exactly that. They have to inform people of when a meeting should be held. They should have at least 6 meetings per annum. So there's a huge responsibility on the councillors to do that. And the challenge is that in many instances, they're not doing that, despite the obligations that lie on them to create those spaces.
Well, here's another WhatsApp from Anonymous saying, wherever I've lived, I've never known who our ward councillor is. They certainly never make themselves known unless they're criticised, at which point they get upset. But I can't think of a single time I've even thought of contacting a councillor, because if anything is wrong with my water, electricity, etc., I just contact the municipality directly. I know who our councillor is, but I've never heard of her doing anything for us. And at my age, I still don't really know what councillors do. So thank you for this conversation. Well, thank you for that honest. And I think you're not alone in having that lack of awareness of what they actually are meant to be doing for you. The meeting that's happening on Wednesday at the Bertha Centre in Mowbray, I know, is aimed at civic organisations. But if there are people listening to this going, I want to know more, I want to know more about holding my councillor accountable, can they come and join that meeting?
Absolutely. The meeting is open to the public. Anybody can attend. The mayor can attend if he wants to. So anybody is welcome. Anybody who has an interest in their community, who is an active citizen, who wants to be actively involved, you are welcome.
Okay, so the Bertha Centre in Mowbray, 4 o'clock till 7:30 on Wednesday. For those who don't know the Bertha Centre, can you just give us an address or a landmark, please?
Yeah, so it's in Main Road, just before you get to Observatory, and it's close to the Mowbray Terminus, which many people know.
It is a landmark building. It should be easy enough to find. So Bertha Centre in Mowbray, Wednesday evening from 4 p.m. Is there any cost to attend, or can people simply arrive?
Yeah.
Okay. And I will just say this, if you don't know who your councillor is, maybe start by going and looking up their name. There is a search facility on the City of Cape Town website, capetown.gov.za. If you follow the landing sites to the Meet the City tab, you will find a searchable page where you can either type in the name of the person to find their contact details, or if you don't even know who it is, just type in your suburb, and that'll lead you to the list of the wards and who is representing you. Any closing words to our listeners, Karida, about the importance of holding councillors accountable?
I think it's just the emphasis on public participation and how important it is for every individual, every citizen, to actively participate in the democracy of the country, and for us to be able to really have an impact on how our wards are developed, what the issues are that we prioritize. We need to be able to engage councillors effectively, and for that purpose we need to know what their roles and responsibilities are, and we need to know how to hold them accountable. And that's why we want to have this event, where we can share knowledge, where we can come up and develop strategies to do exactly that.
I want to thank you both so much for your time and joining us today. You've been listening to Karida Sal and Ryan Fester of the Development Action Group, who are the co-hosts of this event on Wednesday evening. And if you're able to, please go along and join them at the Bertha Centre in Mowbray.